Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, open it with me to the book of James, James the first chapter, and we're going to look at the 5th through the 8th verse there. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me for another moment as we pray. Father, I ask that you would penetrate each heart, Father, that is listening. I pray, God, that in this moment you will draw us to your will. Father, draw us to your wisdom. And Father, cover our lives with your joy. Thank you for what you're going to do in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we are in a troubled world. It seems like there are troubles all over the place. And if you don't have any troubles, just wait around for a while. Something will show up. James is writing to people that are in trouble. He's writing to fellow Christians who are facing unspeakable difficulties. They've been scattered from their homes. Because they're believers, they can't find work. Yet they've got to find food for their families. They are stressed, they are bothered, they are beaten. Some are being taken and tortured just because they believe in Jesus Christ. They are in a world of persecution. Now I want you to understand, we are in a world, thankfully, that has not gone to that extreme, but we're in a world that is anti-Christian. And that's just the truth. You see it everywhere. You know, have you noticed that everything seems to have a month now? Where is the Christian month? Where is a proclamation of the Christian faith and those that believe and what they have meant to this nation? Well, James has many people that are listening to him, many people that are paying attention. He is the half-brother of Jesus, and that has given him a measure of respect. Some people listen to him because of that closeness they believe that he has with Jesus. But a lot listen to him because they watched his life, they saw how he lived, they saw how stable he was, they saw how uplifting his life was, that he tended to be a guy with joy, even though things were sometimes very hard. And so he tells them that they need to face life's difficulties with joy. He's saying things are tough. Cheer up. Things may be hard in your life. They're hard in everybody's life. As a believer, you need to have joy in whatever is going on. Now, that's kind of hard to hear. And sometimes it's even harder to do. So James doesn't leave us hanging. He's going to tell us how this can work out, how we can have joy even in difficult moments, how we can be positive when the sky is falling, how we can move forward when everything else in the world is backwards. So James reveals the secret is tied to three things. Now, these three things are built upon another. You can't have one unless you have all three, and so they are very important. If you don't have them in your life, you're not going to have joy in your life. God's intent in commending us to face difficult days with an uplifted spirit, facing hardships, with being positive, and in order to stand when things are wrong, or so we can, in verse 4, be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I think the psalmist found that there is a way to live with joy. There is a way to have peace. There is a way to have victory in your life. Because the psalmist in Psalms 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What a statement. He's saying, because I have surrendered myself to the Lord as my shepherd, He is going to take care of everything in my life. And if I follow Him as my shepherd, my life is going to fall into place and there's going to be reason to be joyful. Now, before you can get these three things in order, there is something else that needs to be in order. You're not going to be able to have the building blocks of wisdom in your life, joy in your life, peace in your life, if you don't have Jesus in your life. And so you must be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must believe that He is Almighty God, that He died for your sins on Calvary's cross. You must believe that He was buried, that He rose again. You must accept His forgiveness for your soul and accept Him into your heart. And then you need to follow Him as your Lord and Savior, allowing Him to be your shepherd. And in doing so, you will find He will start putting things in place in your life. He wants you to have the best. And so, okay, I have Jesus, but I still got a lot of stuff going on in my life. I wonder if God knew how tough it was going to get. How do I live a life of joy when I am faced with a land of jerks? You start applying what God says in His Word. God tells us how to deal with difficulties. Apply the ingredients that are in this passage. First of all, determine that you are going to be a person of wisdom. In verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, James is being a little tricky here. He knows he's speaking to people that have the sky falling all around them. Some could be very smart. Some could be brilliant. But if they were honest, every one of them would admit that they lacked wisdom for the day that they are living in. And so they needed to admit it. Have you ever tried to teach people? You know the most difficult people to teach? The most difficult people to teach are not the ignorant. People that know they don't know stuff are willing to learn stuff. The hardest people to teach are stubborn people. People that have already determined they know it all, you can't teach me anything. People that come into church sometimes sit down and say, "Try to bless me." You know, they have this attitude that they already have it all. You can't give them anything they don't have or don't need. And so they are too smart to be smart. The wisdom you need to have if you're going to have joy in life, if you're going to have peace in life, if you're going to have victory in life and circumstances, doesn't come just because you have a high IQ. You may be a genius. You may have an IQ that's through the roof and still not possess the wisdom it takes to have godly joy. Job 23 says, "Great men are not all wise." And I'm sure that could say great women as well. Wisdom doesn't mean knowledge. It's not the accumulation of facts. You can be greatly educated and still lack wisdom. In the 1880s, the Earl of Shackelford in England said, "Education without instruction in religion and moral principles will merely result in a race of clever fools." Well, my friends, we have built a world of clever fools. They know a lot of stuff, but they don't know the right stuff. They know a lot of people, but they don't know the right person. People are more educated today than they have ever been. Someone said people are educated far beyond their intelligence. We have a lot of education, but a shortage of wisdom. If we have learned anything, we've learned that education and knowledge doesn't solve problems by itself. In fact, it can complicate them. According to John Nesbitt in his book Megatrends, there are between 6,000 and 7,000 scientific articles written every day. Scientific and technological information now increase 13% every year. That means it's going to double very quickly every 5.5 years. We now have supercomputers. With supercomputing, they believe that will up 40%. In the very near future, it is predicted that knowledge will double every 20 months. To this, Nesbitt adds, we're drowning in information, but we're starved for knowledge. Well, he's almost true. James would put it, we're drowning in information, but we're starved for wisdom. We got a lot of smart people that don't know a whole lot. We're in a day when we know more than ever before in the world we live in, but we know less and less about how to live in it. Wisdom is not common sense. You've heard of people that are geniuses yet don't have the common sense to get out of the rain? Well, common sense is good to have, but common sense is common. Wisdom is rare. Wisdom comes from outside of ourselves. We're living in a day when problems are plentiful and there's a plethora of panic and people don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to turn to. Who do you listen to? Have you tried to find news? I mean, there was a day we listened to news and we thought we were getting the news. We were getting the facts about what's going on in the world. Today, you listen to the news and you don't know what you're getting. There's a lot of information, but what is true and what is not true? It's been said, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, you don't understand the situation. Wisdom has many definitions, so I'll add one. Wisdom is the ability to bring heavenly understanding into daily circumstances. Wisdom's viewing circumstances from God's perspective. It's letting God in on your life. It's letting God direct your life. It's following God's plan for your life. You do know God has a plan for you. He has a plan for all of us. God has a desire for you. And in that desire, His hope for you is that you will live in peace, that you will live in joy, that you will live in love, and all of those things will blanket your life. Not on a now and then basis, but on a daily basis, on an everyday basis. That you will live relying on God's power and walking according to God's will. So if you're going to have joy in the difficult circumstances of life, you need wisdom. You need to know what God desires. And the question you must consider to have joy is, do I have enough wisdom? You can be stubborn and hold on to the I know it all. I've got enough. I know all I need to know. I don't need anything else. I had somebody tell me once, I don't need Sunday school. I know everything they're teaching there. Well, obviously, they hadn't spent a lot of time in Sunday school. We all need Bible study. We all need encouragement of other believers. We need it in Bible study when we have the opportunity. We need it in worship when we have the opportunity. The very first step in getting wisdom is being humble enough to know you need it. And if you're going to get wisdom to face this world with joy, then we move to that second building block, and it's you've got to be a person of prayer. Now, you're going to understand that we're taking the top level and we're going down instead of the lower level and going up, but you have to be a person of prayer. It just makes sense that if you lack wisdom, you go to the one that has the wisdom. Since wisdom involves following God's will, it doesn't make sense that we would leave God out of getting wisdom. This is what it says in the book of Job, Job 28. Job asks, "But where is wisdom found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its price. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me," that it's not in the ocean. "It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for its price. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." If you need wisdom, you need to go to the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom is Almighty God. By the way, Almighty God has given us an instruction book full of wisdom. We need to get in it. We need to hold to it. We need to make it part of our lives. It needs to be the study of our life. Listen, not just when you come on Sundays, but every day of our lives, we need God's Word. And that is an unfolding of His wisdom. You need to go to God, and you need to ask for it. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." God is the source for everything we need. He is the only wise God. There is nobody else to go to. Spiritual commodities have to come from a spiritual source. If you want God's best, it just makes sense. You got to go to God to get it. And you got to be willing to bow down before God and have His will. I am amazed, absolutely astounded, by Christians that run everywhere to find out how to live in this world, except God. Self-help books. You can find all kinds of self-help books, and we have Christians just packing them in and learning all these things, going to different classes, trying to learn transcendental meditation and all those kinds of things. It bothers me that I know people that have marital issues, and who do they go to get help? Their divorce friends. And, you know, they go to people who have had things fall apart to find out how things don't fall apart. And maybe some can give wisdom there, but maybe there's somebody else you might need to go to. Listen, find somebody that's been married for 40 or 50 years. They know where all the pitfalls are, and they've learned to get through them. We need to go to God to get God's will. Don't expect to get it from the government. You know, I wish I could tell you that Washington was the seat of wisdom. I believe it to be the seat of government. But that's not great. And I pray for wisdom to find its way into Washington. But you know what? If you want wisdom in Washington, we got to start sending believers to Washington. Make sure the people you vote for believe the Word of God. Stand for it. And get them into office. And by the way, we need to pray for people that are willing as Christians to run for office. A lot of Christians run from office. You know, we need people that will stand in the gap and say what is right, even if it's unpopular. And so, if we want God's will, we got to do things God's way. If you need grace, you're not going to You're not going to find it in worldly sources. It's only going to come from the God of grace. If you need peace, well, turn to the Prince of Peace. If you lack wisdom for the decisions that are before you right now, search out God's word and godly counsel. Ask of God. Now, in layman's term or anybody else's terms, that means pray about it. Go before God. Lay your issues before Him. Ask Him to give you the wisdom and direction that you need. That means you got to humble yourself. You got to be willing to admit, I don't know everything. In fact, there are days I know absolutely nothing. God, you have all the knowledge. You have all the wisdom. Oh God, give me direction. Go before God and ask Him. Exalt Him in His will in your life. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it is opened. We also know from God's word that we have not because we ask not. You know, I would hate to stress through something in life and stress so much that it causes me to have a heart attack. I fall dead of the heart attack because of stress. I get to heaven and I say, well, God, why did I have to go through all that stress? And He says, you didn't. I had this all for you. You didn't ask. Listen, God has it all for you. You need to ask. You need to spend some time searching out God's word, looking for what God has for you, seeking His desires and His wisdom. Get godly counsel. How foolish it is to be in difficulty and know you don't have the wisdom to get through that difficulty with joy and sit there and pout and worry through it and not ask. When God has the ability to take it from you and care for you. Now, let me be quick to say, you may pray that God will get you out of a situation and God doesn't. It doesn't mean God's not listening. There are some situations that God says you're going to be better by going through this than you are if I take you away from it. But God can still give us the ability and the wisdom to get through that and to have a smile on our face and have victory at the end. He says, ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God wants you to have His wisdom. He's not trying to hide it. He wants you to know His peace. He wants you to be comforted. He's not going to hold back from you if you are willing to come before Him. Listen, if a child goes to their parent and says, Mom, Dad, I love you. I am so thankful for all that you are doing for me and have done for me. And I'm having some difficulties and I need your help. What parent is going to say, go away, kid, you bother me? No, you're going to embrace that child. You're going to try to do whatever you can for that child. Our Heavenly Father's the same. Prayer should be constant. It should be consistent. You may say, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, perhaps there is another issue in foundation that is missing. You see, you need to be a person of wisdom and you need to be a person of prayer, but if you're going to be a person of prayer, you got to be a person of faith. And this is where the rubber hits the road. You have to believe. Verse 6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. God will not answer everybody's prayer. He won't. If you are not willing to believe him, he will not answer your prayer. That's what he says. The prayer that comes from a heart that is trusting in God is the prayer that is going to be answered. If you don't have faith to believe there is a God, why would God answer your prayer? The only prayer God will answer for a non-believer is the prayer to be acknowledged as a believer. It's that prayer when you put Jesus in his right place as your Lord and Savior. God will not bestow his wisdom on those that do not care to believe. Notice, he doesn't say pray with faith. We're in a day when people have abandoned languages and language meaning. It is astounding to me. It's astounding to me that we threw out cursive writing, and now we have a generation that thinks that your cursive is another language. But when we get down to English, which is a very difficult language, we grew up with it, so we don't know that. And many people don't know English, even though they try to speak it, and they grew up with it. There is power in the preposition. You don't pray with faith, you pray in faith. We're to pray in an atmosphere of believing. We're to believe in the God that we are talking to. We're to believe that he is able to care for all things. We're to believe he knows exactly what is right. We are to be willing to submit to his desire. That's faith. Trusting him and taking the next step, trusting him that he's going to lead you in the right way. Pray in faith. Don't be double-minded. Don't be like the waves that come and go. A mind of faith is a mind that is trusting in Jesus, in word, and living for Jesus indeed. Seeking to be what Jesus wants you to be. You want joy in your life? Are you living like God wants you to live? You see, if there's things you know that you could do differently and be more like God wants you to live, that's what you need to do if you want joy in your life. That's the life of faith. That's the trusting him and believing in him to be who he said he is. If you don't have faith to live for him, to obey his word, if you don't have faith to be forgiving of others, if you don't have faith to tell other people about Jesus, if you don't have faith to be a tither, if you don't have faith to trust him in the small things of life, then it's likely that you don't have faith to get an answer to your prayer. Trust him. Believe in him. Surrender to him. David had a son. King David had a son. His name was Solomon. Now, Solomon, as a young man, had the Lord come to him. And in 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, it says, "In that night did God appear to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask and I will give you.'" Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for good looks. He didn't ask for power. This is what he said. "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people." And in verse 11, "And God said, 'Because this was your heart, and you have not asked for riches and wealth and honor, nor life above your enemies, neither long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, wisdom and knowledge will be granted you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had.'" We know Solomon to have been the wisest man to have ever lived. Not a perfect man, no. but a very wise man. The Queen of Sheba came to test him. She asked him many hard questions. When they were through, he had answered all the questions. She went away and she said of Solomon, the half has not been told. I got news for you. God loves you as much as he loves Solomon. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you comfort. He wants to get you through this life. He wants to help you with the difficulty that is right before you now that you are struggling with. He's trying to get you to understand you don't have to struggle. You do have to trust. And so you need to trust him. You need to ask him, God, give me wisdom for the next step. Then you need to take that step. And then smile, knowing Almighty God has your back. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Jesus is God's wisdom. Well, that's why you start out with Jesus. If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, you're not going to be very wise. Today you have an opportunity. If you would invite Jesus to come into your heart, to save your soul, to forgive your sins. That's why he came. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he went through the grave. And that's why you are here today, so that he can share that with your heart and you can respond. What's your response? In just a moment, we'll ask you to come forward. You can come forward and just say to JD or myself, I want Jesus. It's just simple. We understand what you're saying. I want Jesus. If you come in faith wanting Jesus, believing who he is, my friend, we will pray together and Jesus will become your Savior today. You will leave here a lot wiser than you came because you will have Jesus. And if you are struggling as a believer, you are having issues in life and there are troubles that you are facing, and yes, they are there in this world. Maybe today you need to make sure that you're putting your faith in the one who can take care of your situation. Come to him. Ask him to give you wisdom. And walk in his way. You'll find peace and you'll find victory. You'll find joy. And you will be wiser than when you came. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask now that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room, some that have never met Jesus, never surrendered to Jesus, but now they need Jesus, Father, let them come and say, I want Jesus. Father, believers in this room struggling with issues of life, and Father, they just need to turn them over to you and seek your wisdom, Father, and then follow that wisdom according to your will and word. Guide us, Father, in what you would do in our lives. Help us surrender now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?